And welcome into another edition of the Kevin and Casey podcast. Kevin Hilly along with my friend Casey Cloak.
Hello, hello.
We were talking, was it last time we were talking about guns or gun ownership?
Yeah.
Or shooting,
I don't know
or
if we did that on the air or if that was us just conversation behind the scenes. We always have those conversations.
But I confess to Casey, I said, I've never even held a real gun in my life.
I'm still thinking about that. I'm like, okay, if you don't get out to the range this year, I'm taking you
You're
out.
You're a Missouri girl.
Yeah.
See?
I am.
And it's ironic because I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah, you would think you would
think, hello, some of the people I've known in my life, that's all I'm saying, okay?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but you did.
Forget about it, okay? But no, I never have. And then I want to get out to and
it just kind of shoot. It's exhilarating.
But I came across this story of this woman in Ohio who called the police because she thought she had been shot.
Oh.
Well, it turns out she had an insect bite.
Oh my gosh.
How do you confuse an insect? How deep is that insect? What, is there a hole through your shoulder?
And I'm sorry. You'll know when you get shot. It happens.
That's what I would think. If you're shot, you know what I'm...
I feel bad for the police department that had to respond, honestly. hopefully it wasn't a mosquito bite or something.
They arrived at the scene. They realized she was only suffering with an insect bite or a sting. They called the EMS and they helped her out with her issue. How big are the insects in her house?
That's a little scary, too.
It was like a ginormous spider or something.
No, thank you. Hey, I don't mess around with spiders.
You know, when you get shot, too, that's the thing. You know, like you ever notice on... Like, if you watch shows like Ray Donovan or something like that, you know, I mean, like, they get shot and they end up in the hospital. And, you know, after they're taken care of, they're always like, okay, well, I have to get out of here. It's like, dude, if I was shot, I'd be like, you know what? I got to take next month off of work.
I'd be milking it for sure. Absolutely.
They just get up like, no, I got stuff I got to do. It's like, you're not going anywhere.
You've been shot.
Dude, you were just shot. You know, Eddie Murphy did a bit. Years ago, like in the early 80s.
Oh, I love his stand-ups.
Oh, my gosh,
so fun.
About being shot. This is what he said.
People getting shot. Anybody ever been shot before? I have a friend that got shot before. I saw a guy get shot. And when you're in the movies, when you get shot, it's real different. You know, you get shot, you go, poof. Gone without me. In real life, you don't do that. Bullet getting your poof. Oh, I'm shot. Help, damn.
You better not leave me.
That's right. It's true. I'd be doing the same thing. I would. Don't leave.
Right. Forget this. Save yourself.
I'd probably be talking about it for months. I got shot.
Did I ever tell you about the time I got shot?
Yeah. That would definitely top my stories for sure. I don't have to have that story.
No, that's something I don't want on my bucket list. Okay?
No, absolutely not.
There's some things that might be nice. So on the Wave Facebook page, we have a Would You Rather. I throw Would You Rather up there. Would You Rather questions from time to time. And the latest one is, would you rather have everyone in the world know your phone number or never be able to have a cell phone ever again?
Gosh, that's a really hard one.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It is, and that's obviously the nature of Would You Rather questions.
Right,
I mean, you can see pluses and minuses.
It's more challenging than my daughter's Would You Rather questions that we do on the way to school.
Well, it's different than, like, would you rather have an arm growing out of your forehead?
Oh, something. Although like, hers got a little intense last week. You know, would you rather have no hands or no feet? I'm like, ooh, okay.
Ooh.
I know, right?
Boy, I don't want to
consider back to your
that
original.
One.
Yeah. Oh, man.
See, I would probably lean toward everyone having my phone number.
Yeah.
And then just block. I guess you'd be like forever blocking for the rest of your life.
Right, right.
But,
you know, I mean, with the position I'm in and just the involvement I have, it'd be better professionally for everybody to have my number. And a lot of people do.
Yeah.
If I wasn't in this profession and
the idea of not having a cell phone would be kind of appealing almost.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I really do, honestly. Because there are times.
Well, you know, I mean, growing up, I mean, I could tell you when we were kids and even into young adulthood.
Yeah.
Nobody
didn't have anything.
Nobody could reach you.
You had to find a payphone.
Exactly. Exactly. Nobody could reach you. So you'd have to, you know, it's like, stop and call me. You know, we used to do a trick, in fact, with my wife and I when we were first married. Okay, if we left my parents' house, it was like, okay, when you get home, to avoid long distance, ring twice and hang up, and that means you made it.
That way you know. Yeah. No, you're code. Right. I remember having to wait until 9 o'clock at night to make long distance calls because that's when it was free. Kids have no idea these days. They
it's,
don't. They,
it's I true. Mean,
our first cell phone came out. It was in a bag, you know, in the car.
We had the bag phone.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We always had to decide, okay, who's going to get it today?
Because
it's for, quote, emergencies only.
Absolutely. And I will say, I mean, it is nice being able to have it is a good security blanket.
Oh, sure,
Especially if you're traveling and all of that. But if, you know, if we were, you know, living off the grid, then no, heck no, I don't want a phone. I don't need that.
The other thing we used to do is call and collect. Mm-hmm. To make sure. Okay,
the message.
you have a collect call from, and then you leave a message. Hey, we got here. Okay, fine. Bye.
Yeah, it's like the commercial. We had a baby. It's a boy.
Right.
That's right.
Will you accept? No.
Yeah. And you know what? If that commercial aired these days, nobody would get it.
Nobody would get it. You have to be a certain age to know that. You know.
There actually. So speaking of phones, there's a property here at the lake. That did some major renovations, but they saved. There is a payphone still.
Are you serious?
I am. It doesn't work. It's not connected, but they left it because of, you know, photo prop, basically,
right.
So people could take pictures. And that's exactly what I did. I took a selfie and sent it to some friends. I'm like, when's the last time you saw a payphone?
Well, we were watching a show the other day, and the character got on a payphone. I was like, where in the world is that? But then the show is based in the early 90s.
Well, there you go.
So
that was why.
Yeah. But, you know, now we're in the age of cell phones, and there's a study out that says millennial. I'm a baby boomer. What do you consider?
I am.
Are you in the in between?
I am the in between. So I'm just outside the millennial. So I'm. I don't.
Yeah.
Quite
see, I don't look at you as a millennial
mentality, but I'm 84. So
what's after millennial? It's not Generation Z. That's younger than millennial.
I'm trying to. There is a term.
There's a term for us.
There's like 3 years that we just don't quite fit into the millennial generation, and we don't fit into the.
I think it's Generation X.
That comes before.
I think Generation X is older than millennials.
Gotta love your cell phones. I'm gonna have to Google it.
You might not want to after I tell you this, okay? Because they did a study, and you know how if you don't have your phone, you kind of feel a little naked, like, ooh,
piece of you is missing. Yeah.
It's worse with millennials and Gen Zers. They say they fidgeted more and reported finding the delay more difficult compared to those from older generations. Baby boomers.
Well, I believe it.
We don't have as hard a time. I mean, like.
No, you didn't rely on it in your entire life.
I mean,
millennials, they've been raised with these electronics in their hands since they were babies.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
I do the check as I walk out the door in the morning, wallet, phone, you know, keys, pat my pockets. Okay, everything's good. Good to go.
Right.
And occasionally during the day, I'll just like, okay, phone's still there. It's like, it's weird. It's like a security thing.
No, it is. I agree. If I leave my cell phone behind, I go crazy. And I don't realize, well, I do once I lost my phone for about a day, it got run over. So I had to wait for the new one to get in. And I tell you what, there was pros and
cons
to it.
Yeah,
I was a mess. I didn't realize how much I relied on it. And not just for phone use, but even checking my email. I mean, I will email.
Social media, everything.
I emailed myself this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, random thoughts come to my mind and boom, let me shoot myself an email.
It's true.
So not having that capability. But you know what? It's not a bad thing either. So Charlie and I, we went to Arkansas a few weekends ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things we try to keep the electronics, you know, at bay,
mm-hmm.
only to call in and check on the kids,
right.
this and that. You know, I really didn't mess with my phone very much, and it was nice. I mean, I literally took a full break from the electronics.
It's funny you mentioned that. I have from time to time thought of doing almost like a fast.
Yeah.
Like a phone fest.
It feels good. I mean, you go a little nuts at first.
Right.
Because, you know, your mind is used to just checking that device.
Right.
And you don't realize how often you check it randomly, you know, your subconscious does.
Right.
And being able to just give your brain a break. And I just hate that we're so easily accessible these days.
And we're so dependent on it. No,
yes,
it's true. No,
yes.
I'll tell you something that happened, this is probably about a month ago. My wife and I went out somewhere. My phone was at home, it was charging, and it had almost like no juice.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I'm just going to have to leave this here, let it charge, and we'll go out. We have your phone if we need
it,
whatever. Okay. But I'll tell you, while we were out, it was like...
The anxiety?
Quite the opposite.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed it.
I'm free.
It was like, in a way, like, hey, I don't have to sweat this, whatever. If somebody's calling me, they'll leave a message or a text or whatever. And I was just kind of like enjoying the moment.
Right.
It was... kind of refreshing.
You know what? I see that. Like, we'll go to dinner, and that's one of our rules too. We don't do the phone.
No screens.
We're at a restaurant. Yeah, no screens. I mean, right. Here, you're sitting across the table from me.
Right.
Let's talk.
Right.
And, you know, if you go to a restaurant, you go anywhere these days, and you look around, how many people have their faces plugged right into a device?
I know.
You're missing out on people interaction. And, you know, I tell you what, I read a study. It's talking about mental health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anxiety is up and all these other disorders are up. And a lot of it is because our generations are getting raised with being accessible all the time. And that's not healthy.
We were out to dinner for my daughter's birthday the other day.
Yeah, I saw that Olive Garden.
Out near St. Louis. It was awesome. But there was a table across from us, and there was a guy with, I assume, his wife and their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was on his phone, the wife was on her phone, and the daughter was on her tablet. And the three of them, not a word being spoken between them.
Sad.
I was like, why would you, like, you're missing the whole experience.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I the way I look at it, you know, when you get older, you're going to look back, and you're all that time missed. And
the interaction, yeah.
Yeah, my daughter hates it. You know, she got an iPad for Christmas this year, and she's almost 8, mind you. So many of the kids in her age have had electronic devices that they, for themselves, for years now.
She's a little late to the party.
She was. Yeah. And we noticed, too, like, academically, you know, yeah, there's some educational apps and stuff that the school provides. And it's like, okay, yeah, I guess, you know, we'll cave.
Mm-hmm.
But we really do limit her screen time. And it's honestly, you know, if the weather's nice, we're outside playing. We're out doing our own adventures.
Yeah.
And we don't rely on the screen as a babysitter.
It is easy to justify, I think, throwing screens at kids because of what you said. The educational apps and the learning. But you know what? There are entire generations for millennia before us.
Absolutely.
The kids grew up fine. They learned.
Right.
I mean, you had scientists. You had Nobel Prize winners who never touched the screen in their life.
And they use enough electronics even at school now. I mean, the kids are on computers at kindergarten. So,
it's true.
I mean, in my mind, she's getting enough electronic time
right.
at school. So, yeah, let's learn life.
and social media plays a part in that, too.
Yeah.
And again, I was
not ready for that world.
Well, no, here's not just that with kids. Yeah, but I'm just saying, even myself, from time to time, I think, you know what? I would like to just for, 2 weeks, maybe a month.
Turn it
completely
off.
But see, I can't because my job depends on social media, on Facebook especially.
Yeah.
Twitter to a degree, but especially Facebook.
Yeah.
And so even if I didn't do anything personally, I still have to jump on there just for
work. You gotta monitor and stay abreast of what's going on. No, I agree. I'm in the same boat.
But it would be interesting to try that.
I try to take a break from it. I'm telling you, there's days. Well, last week I was, oh my goodness, I was so sick, and I didn't touch my phone for 2 days. And
so, how did you feel after you did that?
You know, at first that anxiety was kicking in. Mm-hmm. I was like, God, I feel like
FOMO.
You're
missing out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know what's going on. But then I just got so exhausted, it's like, I don't even care. And then once I got to feeling better, I did open it up, and it was like, there's so much to follow. It would have taken me days to catch up.
You cannot.
I'm like, I'm not that worried about it. If there is something major that I needed to be made aware of,
right.
Fortunately, I've got, you know, my team is on Facebook, my board of directors, they're all on Facebook, so they'll let me know if there's something I absolutely need to know about.
You ever seen that meme? It says, there is nothing else to see. You have reached the end of the internet.
God, wouldn't that be nice?
No, it would
Gosh,
be.
Gosh, that would
impossible.
Be such a great mental break for everybody.
But it would be nice. But, you know, again, I've toyed with the idea of...
The idea does sound nice.
No.
It does.
Not...
Yeah.
But
well, and I tell you what, like the Debbie Downers. There's times where I call it a friend cleanup, and it's just like
I do it from time to time.
You know, I'm a little concerned, and it's an election year, so we'll see. It hasn't gotten ugly yet, but I've got a pretty diverse group.
But you know what?
Friends.
The unfollow is a great tool.
It is
because
it is.
You don't have to unfriend them.
Yeah,
but you also don't see all the craziness that they post
all the time. Yeah,
yeah. Unless they post something directly to your
page.
I think
the ones that bother me the most on the social media is the daily selfies. I mean, I'm sorry. I know what you look like. All right. I don't care what you look like with red lipstick or the leopard print or that and of course, like I said, the negative stuff that my mom calls it, you know, the poor me syndrome.
Yeah.
I like the positive quotes. You know, there's a few people I follow that
inspirational. Although sometimes
I
have to turn them off a little bit too because it's like, all right, dude, you're a little too positive for me. Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're just sick.
I need a bit of of a downer here too, okay? A little balance, I'm just saying.
Balance is good.
Moderation, okay? You know, give me, every once in a while, give me something to depress me and then pick me up again.
I love seeing the kid pictures and the updates. You know, thank goodness for Facebook. I'm able to stay in touch with friends that, you know, growing up in St. Louis and moving here to the lake. So I've got a variety and it's nice because I don't have time to talk to everybody all the time. Yeah. So at least on Facebook, I kind of know what's going on in their world.
We are approaching Lent. And I know a couple people who in past years,
they give it up.
They just dropped it completely. Yep. And one really good friend of mine, she said she gave it up for like 2 weeks. She was completely gone from Facebook, off the grid.
Yep.
And she came back. She says, "You don't know what that did for my constitution. Yeah. I feel like a new person."
I believe it. Yeah. I really do. Yeah. I believe it. Like I said, it's nice to take a break every now and then. Yeah. It really is. So it's not a bad thing. Do it.
if you've ever done it, you know, share. I mean, what's it like? Did you really miss it? Were you glad you did it? You know, if you ever want to weigh in, by the way, we have the Kevin and Casey podcast hotline, which is 856-318-9873. Leave a voicemail on there and if it's something good, odds are we will use it,
absolutely,
in the podcast. Or you can email if you'd like, kevinandcasey@kevinhilly.com. And that, my friend, is another exhilarating edition of the Kevin and Casey podcast.
Now turn your phone off.